One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we have a request. If you are really enjoying what we do here on the Internet Marketing Podcast, then if you could, please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast app, of course. That would be fab. It really helps us to grow the podcast and ensure we bring you great marketing tips and advice each week. Now, today I'm joined by Michael Brenner, keynote speaker, author, and CEO of Marketing Insider Group. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm good, Andy. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Where are you speaking from, Michael?
I'm coming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, here in the U.S. of A.
Ah. And I would imagine it's about, it must be about, what, sometime in the morning over there now? Because it's about 4 o'clock over here.
Yeah, 11 a.m. and about 75 Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is in Celsius, but that's pretty nice weather.
It sounds warm.
Yeah, I'm inside.
And you're inside. Well, hopefully it won't keep you too long and you can go out in the nice warm weather. Let's start off, Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself and Marketing Insider Group.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. After, 20-year career, basically in sales and marketing, I took the leap of faith and in insanity, as my wife might call it, to start my own practice and essentially sharing the things that I've learned over the course of my career, trying to help brands become better marketers, trying to help, marketing really kind of solve what I call the marketing problem that marketing has, that we can't deliver results with marketing activities, and having a great time. I spend most of my time speaking to audiences at conferences or individually at brands, consulting, and I do a ton of writing as well.
Now, today's topic is sort of leadership strategies for the digital age. And I'm wondering, Michael, what's your experience with sort of execs and their sort of increasing expectations in the field of, you know, marketing, return on investment and results and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, I think that what's happened with the digital sort of technology disruption that we've seen, you know, really over what, 2 decades now, is that we started to see this rift in marketing. Marketing, I think, used to be a strategic position. And somehow over the course of, you know, the mass media age, it became, I think, an order taker kind of position. You know, go throw us, some logos on the side of a bus or create some ads, you know, go to an agency to get them to create ads for us. And really, I think marketing lost its strategic leadership position as the advocate for customers inside the organization. With digital, I think that rift has really started to kind of demonstrate itself, where we've got marketers that say, hey, in the digital age, we now can really directly represent insights from our customers and help the organization as a whole understand what experiences they want, what products to create, how to deliver them. And so you've got strategic leaders in the marketing field taking one approach. The other is, you know, sort of the traditional approach of marketers that are just happy to be order takers. And so we're starting to feel, I think, a tension, especially inside the executive leadership ranks, for those marketers that are, you know, maybe trying to change their perception inside the executive team.
I mean, there must be it's probably a challenging area, isn't it, for execs? What sort of, are there some sort of common things that get in the way of results?
Well, so, you know, it's interesting. If you ask CEOs what they expect from marketing, they'll say they want revenue. At the same time, those are execs are the same people that say, I want to see our logo on the side of a bus. And so, you know, it puts marketers in this position of either, you know, either pushing back on their boss, which is not always an easy thing to do. We're finding the courageous marketing leaders are the ones that are doing that and saying, you expect results from us. You know, it's kind of like you're asking us to bake a cake, but you also want to tell us how to bake it, and you can't have it both ways. And so if I can, yeah, I guess that's a mixed metaphor, right? You can't ask for a cake and tell me how to bake it and have your cake and eat it too. That's a total mixed metaphor there, but anyway, that's really the struggle that execs, that's what gets in the way is we have this extreme expectation for results, which I totally believe in. I've always believed as a former salesperson that marketing is much more than just what color is my brand and logo and, you know, what fonts should we use. And it should deliver quantifiable business results. But at the same time, we're getting asked by the organization and sales and marketing and product teams and executives to do very specific things that they think will achieve those results. And oftentimes they don't. So that's really what gets in the way. And how do you describe that? That's why I think leadership strategies are important. It's leadership, it's culture, it's change, it's innovation, it's disruption, it's all of those things. Ultimately, it comes down to the marketing executives that are successful are the ones that are employing a leadership strategy for the digital age.
I'm just wondering what form that takes, because you talked about the sort of perceptions and the things that get in the way of results, but sort of what needs to change to sort of fix some of these problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think it needs to start with marketing leaders who understand that marketing is a business asset. And what I mean by that is that marketing does deliver real results. And as such, it's a strategic asset for the organization. It's a financial asset. It's a financial vehicle. And, you know, this is a conversation you can have with CFOs. I always tell marketers that, you know, marketing is kind of like an investment in your retirement. It doesn't require additional investment every single month or year. It just requires a consistent and customer-focused approach. And if you do that, just like your retirement account, if you invest a small but consistent amount over time, you're going to see not just an increasing rate of return, but an accelerating rate of return. It's a financial conversation. And so that's one of the things that needs to change is, you know, marketers need to understand how to speak in the language that the business understands. That's financial terms. Not just talk about, you know, pulling out some glue and some pens and some scissors and we're going to have, you know, creative class. It involves some art, but it's much more so about the science these days and applying the art to achieve a business outcome.
You wrote a nice blog post on the digital sort of marketing lies that we tell ourselves, didn't you, Michael? Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, that was a rant. You know, I find that some of my best articles are written and, you know, I get into this flow where I get angry and I kind of, you know, sort of spout something off. And that was one of those. I did that over the holidays after reading an article in a magazine that I won't name. But let's say it's, you know, fairly, you know, rooted in traditional marketing, order taking kind of perception. So I started with, you know, after seeing a few lies being propagated in that article, I started with, you know, what I think are five real marketing truths. I could just cover maybe the main points. And, you know, number one is the customer's at the center. And if the customer is at the center of everything we do, I don't know if you've all seen the United Airlines fiasco with yanking a customer off the plane.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I don't know when this will air, but, you know, this was just about 3 weeks ago. The CEO of United Airlines said just yesterday, if we put the customer at the center of everything we do, we wouldn't have these kinds of problems. And so that's really one of the biggest, if not the biggest, marketing truth. You know, another one kind of on a related point is that customers don't buy from us because of the products or the features or because of the color of our logo. They buy from us because of the sum total of all the experiences they have. And so, again, putting the customer at the center of everything we do, especially in marketing, is so important. It also kind of touches upon the humanity of marketing. And, you know, I talk a lot to B2B organizations and I always tell them that, you know, I joke with them that, you know, 85% of your buyers are actual human beings.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a joke, obviously, 100% of people that buy stuff are people. But I think we forget. We think that buildings buy stuff, you know, people do. And so, you know, the problem this all creates is that We spend a lot of money. We waste a lot of money on marketing, not because we're trying new things that are focused on customers, but because we simply repeat the sins of the past. We're doing the same old stuff that nobody wants. You know, I don't know the last time that you were happy to see an advertisement. I can't imagine that there are that many that you can count. And so those are really some of the truths that I think we sometimes forget in marketing. And then I went through a list of 9 lies. I don't know if you want me to touch upon a few of them. But
oh, please do. No, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one would be, you know, is spin up a website and that's all you need.
Mm.
And, you know, again, back to this sort of some experiences, we need to create experiences for our customers in all of the channels that they want to, you know, engage with brands on. Now, so I have some contradictory ones. So that's one of the lies that we believe, that a website is all we need. Another lie on the other end of the spectrum is that we need to be on every channel. And I think a lot of marketers, you know, spread themselves too thin.
Yes.
And sort of look at putting themselves across every single,
yeah,
you know, hey, we got to be on Snapchat. Hey, we got to be on Instagram. You know, well, if your buyers aren't there, you probably don't need to focus on it. So that's one. Another one that I love to talk to folks about is that social media is not owned media. And, you know, a lot of us experienced that when we focused on Facebook and then Facebook changed the algorithm to drive advertising sales. And the organic reach of content from brands on Facebook went from something like 96% to something less than 1%. And what that means is, let's say, you know, if we were following a brand, you were following me on Facebook Marketing Insider Group, whereas before 96% of the people that liked my Facebook account would see the articles that I posted, to after the algorithm, you know, 0.6%. That's happening because Facebook owns Facebook, not Marketing Insider Group. So we don't own our social media accounts, so we can't rely on it. We can't build our platforms. You know, we just need to think of social media as a mechanism for distribution, not an owned platform. You know, negative comments are bad. That's one of my favorite ones. I love negative comments because they tell me exactly what I'm doing wrong and how I need to change the approach I'm taking to the marketplace. You know, I think a lot of brands shy away from negative feedback, and sometimes that's the best kind of feedback that we can get. I got a few more. You want me to keep going?
Give us a couple more, because I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, so I'll give you another dichotomous one. So the belief that everybody's going to love our content is one. You know, there's a lot of product, especially product people. They're like, we're going to create this brochure because people love brochures. Guess what? Nobody loves brochures. So, you know, everybody loves our content is one myth. Another one on the total other end of the spectrum, again, is that everybody's going to hate our content. You know, and I think sometimes marketers are shy about testing and really looking at different alternatives. And you know, I think we need to realize that, you know, I believe in the sort of design thinking concept where, you know, you can't afford perfect and you're never done. And so, you know, just throw things out there and start seeing what works and what resonates, and then start to learn from those things. So those are just a few, I think. I guess I'll finish with one that I think is probably really relevant to your audience, and that's SEO doesn't matter.
Right.
That's my 9th one. And I think it's really important to your audience because, you know, most of the marketing strategy work that I do with my clients starts with a deep understanding of the keywords that people are using. And the reason for that is that when we have a question, we go to Google and we ask Google that question. SEO is still extremely important, if not the foundation for all of the marketing that we should be doing. Because if we put our customers at the center of our marketing, then we realize our job as marketers is to answer customer questions. And the best way to see what questions they're asking is to go to you know, search engines and see what keywords they use. So SEO is still super, super important.
Now, you mentioned earlier about the sort of traditional view versus the digital view of marketing, Michael. I was just wondering, how do we integrate the two?
Yeah, I think there's actually one really simple way to integrate, and I'll try to use a kind of a common definition of traditional versus digital. So, a lot of traditional marketers, especially in the agency side, you know, with an advertising background, you know, they learned about reach and frequency. And you know, I remember even in college and university, I learned that marketing is about identifying your target, positioning your message, and then blasting it out as much as you can. It was like this, you know, it was like this rifle approach where, you know, we're just gonna spray our message out all over the place, and hopefully with reach and frequency we'll achieve some sort of an effect. In the digital world, we tune out broadcasted promotional brand messages. And so The digital age is much more about engagement. And so I do think we can marry those two ideas. And what I mean by that is, you know, I believe in blogging every single day. I think brands should blog every single day. And the reason for that is that your buyers are asking questions every single day. So reach and frequency are still important, but it only matters if you're creating content that people actually want. And that's the engagement, you know, side of the equation. So,
yeah.
So reach and frequency are dead if we don't consider engagement. Engagement doesn't work if we don't consider reach and frequency. So we have to marry these two concepts.
So looking forward, this is where you get your crystal ball out, Michael. What's next for marketing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're starting to see that, you know, the only marketing that really works is this authentic, customer-focused, human engaging kind of content. And what that means is that, you know, David Packard famously said, marketing is too important to be left to the marketing department. And so I think what's next for marketing is that we're going to start to see that our employees are the best advocates for the brand. And we can't ask employees to share, you know, promotional messages about how great our products are. Just having human interaction with other human beings, you know, from our employees to the marketplace is going to be, I think, is going to start to be the real focus for strategic marketing leaders as we move forward. Because I think it's the only authentic way to get, you know, human interaction between a brand and the marketplace.
That's interesting. I mean, for our listeners, you know, from the perspective of leadership and management in the field of sort of digital marketing, what would be one top tip or takeaway that you could give our listeners?
Yeah, well, I would say, I mean, I think it depending on where you are in the organization, if you're a senior leader, I think culture is the new mandate for marketing. Creating a culture across the entire organization that's focused on delivering customer value, I see that as the greatest challenge and opportunity for marketing leaders going forward. I think at the sort of mid to lower levels of the organization, you know, the message I would give is you're all leaders too, and you need to fight for, you know, stop taking orders from above, and your company needs you to push back on the ideas that aren't going to work, that you know won't work. And so it's not so much about making it your job to change the culture, but it's your job to make sure that you're focused on marketing activities that deliver real value for your customers and impact for the organizations.
So a collaborative sort of feedback type mechanism.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Michael. Tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and Marketing Insider Group.
Yeah, sure. MarketingInsiderGroup.com or use my favorite channel to connect, Twitter, @BrennerMichael. And I would love to connect with your audience there.
Fantastic. Thanks. And thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you want to connect with me personally, I'm Dr. Pod, DocTorPod on LinkedIn and Twitter. If you want to join the Site Visibility Group on LinkedIn, do that. We have an email address, podcast@sitevisibility.com, if you want to email us. And we have a Twitter presence @sitevisibility. Well, thanks again. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Michael.
Thanks, Andy.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.